Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Chase and Michelle. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter. Nick Kieser with you on this Tuesday. As we got just a couple more days before the tournament resumes. You know, and now what's funny is I think Thursday of the NCAA tournament is my favorite day of the year because it's like you just get so hyped up for it. Yes. And you know that you're not going to work at all and you're going to watch basketball all day and hang out with your friends. You know, we did our remote at Jasper's and stuff. And then Friday is kind of the same, but it's also not. Even though it's the same schedule and just mm-hmm. different teams and everything, it's that first day. This week with the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, it's a little different because it's later in the day and you don't have as many games, but still,
well, it's
exciting.
It's annoying, though, because now we have to go. We had Thursday and Friday and then Saturday and Sunday just galore of basketball. I mean, you could just turn on, what game's on? Okay, we're going to double screen. Let me put one on my phone. Let me put one on my laptop, on my TV. And now it's like I'm withdrawing a little bit.
Yeah,
yesterday, today, and I'm just like, we need more.
So I'm having to think in terms of Pacific time because I'll be in Vegas. So the good thing for me is on Thursday, the first game is the Fighting Derek Mason and Joe Rex Rhodes taking on K-State. That's a 3:30 tip in Vegas. So that's
clutch.
I'm, you know, just wake up because probably won't go to bed until a little late Wednesday/Thursday
morning.
Check on Chase.
We're going to need Twitter check-ins.
You'll get it. I mean, because I'll be at the Superbook. So, you'll see some vids of me and Rick and Sean. And so we'll have a good time. It will be fun. But excited about early basketball. And then, of course, Tennessee, Florida Atlantic. How are Vols fans feeling? And we're going to, again, I mentioned this earlier, Nick McDevitt, head coach at MTSU, going to join potentially me, Willie, and D-Mace today at 1 o'clock.
Love that.
I'm filling in for Caroline. But to kind of give his thoughts on FAU, team that they saw three times this year. Also, Jerry Stackhouse is going to join at 11:30. So as they get ready for the quarterfinals of the NIT.
Exciting. They're
going to
face Alabama, Birmingham.
Yeah, UAB.
So
Andy Kennedy at UAB, I have always been a big fan of Andy Kennedy as a coach. Going back to when he was at Ole Miss, I thought he did a really good job at Ole Miss. So Andy Kennedy, I think, could get a bigger job again because I've always thought he's done a nice job. But how are Vols fans feeling now that Rick Barnes has gotten this team without Zakai Ziegler into the Sweet 16? I said it yesterday that I was wrong on Rick Barnes. That I owed him an apology, and here we are. You put it on the grid just like this, and it made me smile. Rick Barnes in March made Sweet 16, so he's good? Question mark. I mean, is all forgiven? Is that what we're saying?
That's the question. Not is he good, because Rick Barnes, I do think, is a great college basketball coach. It was just all I could fit in that little line right there. But my question is to Vols fans, you know, is this... Does this please you? Is the Sweet 16 okay? How will you feel if they lose? Right? Like, is it just that you got to get to the second weekend? Because that's one of the hardest things to do. Does that mean to you, okay, that the March curse is over, now we can just relax and whatever else however far the team goes, then that's just gravy. Because when we talked to Vols fans before the tournament began, after the loss of Zakai Ziegler, I kept saying they just need reps without Zakai. They need reps without Zakai. It seems like they've been able to figure it out more, what works for this team without having him up there. And now a pleasant surprise of the team beating Duke, advancing to the Sweet 16. But now what? Now where are your expectations as a Vols fan? Do you expect they're playing FAU? Right? I mean, looking at their program compared to Tennessee's program, the expectations, the resume Tennessee built this year, what are your expectations now?
So you just asked a million-dollar question, and you sparked something with me. Because now this is the second time this year that the Vols fans have had to go through this, that maybe the expectations – so for football, I don't think the expectations were very high. It was, okay, you're going to improve on year one with Josh Heupel, but correct, we're not even thinking playoffs. We're not thinking that at all. And then all of a sudden, they beat Florida, and even though that wasn't the same Florida team, it was, okay, we got that. We checked that off. With that, now we've beaten Florida, so you start to feel really good.
Uh-huh.
Then Bama happens, and you're feeling really good.
Uh-huh.
And your mind starts wandering, and you start thinking, well, hey, we just got through Bama. Now there's Georgia. But I mean, we're in the mix. Like we're vibing right now. We're in the dance.
Yeah.
And then obviously Georgia happens, but you're still in the dance. Like you're still in the mix.
Still there.
And so there became new expectations, but it was kind of like, all right, if this doesn't happen, I'm still going to say this is a successful season. For basketball, it's a little different because I know there were a lot of pundits that looked at this team and said they have the talent to be a Final Four team.
Correct.
It's whether they can actually do it or not, and a lot of that circled back to the head coach. And so I think to your question, are Vols fans, like, if they – I think they can beat FAU. It's going to be a close game, a good game. I think they can beat FAU. But if they don't and you just get to the Sweet 16 – what level of disappointment are you at? Because I do think there is a level of disappointment. If you get to the Elite Eight and that's as far as you get, are you going to be, you know, satisfied with that? Of okay, no Ziegler, things turned out better than I thought they would. I'll take that. So I think that's kind of the what's the pulse.
I agree, and I compared in my head too before you brought it up, Chase, the Vols football team, and you add another layer to it. Hendon Hooker tears his ACL. Zakai Ziegler tears his ACL. Two guys who are the heart and soul of each of these Tennessee programs. And the loss being so significant to the team. Basketball being a bit different in the ability to kind of compensate for what Zakai did. Whereas, you know, when you lose your star quarterback, the situation is a tad different. But they still advance to the Orange Bowl, right? Win the Orange Bowl, beat Clemson, and have a great end of their season. You were to tell
Vols. Yeah, beat the crap out of Clemson when everybody had Clemson favored.
Exactly. If you were to tell Vols fans at the beginning of that football season, hey, you're going to the Orange Bowl, you're going to beat Alabama, and you're going to beat Clemson in the Orange Bowl, they'd be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, best season ever. We love you, Josh Heupel. And that's kind of how the expectations change. But they wouldn't realize in the middle of the season that they had an opportunity to go to the national championship. So now I look at this Vols basketball team. I look at how they started off, right? A very close game to Arizona early in the year. They beat Kansas on a neutral court. They beat a Texas team. You know, they stacked up all of these resume-building wins. The SEC tournament right after Zakai kind of gets hurt. They're still, you know, figuring out games without him. But now you've advanced to the Sweet 16. You've beaten Duke, which – to me, I was not surprised by that. I know a lot of people were. This Tennessee team has proven all year long that they are better than Duke. But a lot of people forgot once Zakai got injured and how they kind of had a little bit of a spiral once he was out of the lineup, didn't get that double bye in the SEC tournament. But now I'm asking Vols fans, what is your expectation? Is the Sweet 16 okay? Or if you lose, is it going to be, couldn't get it done in March, Rick? Couldn't get it done? Because I'm looking at the path right now for this Tennessee team. They are the favorite in the East now. The table has turned. They're not the underdog to Duke, which everybody thought, you know, Duke's going to win. Now you're the big dog. You are the favorite in the East right now. How do Vols fans feel? Text us, call us.
615-737-1025. Because I'd be curious of that. Because if I think about this with the, you know, and look, the Lady Vols too. I mean, they're certainly – what Kelly Harper has done with that program since she's taken it over, getting them back
correct
to being relevant again. But you got football that overachieved this year and has set the bar higher. Basketball, still incomplete. We'll see. Baseball, a lot of people, you know, predict that they could win it all this year. Mm-hmm. I would say Vols fans have to feel pretty good right now about the state of athletics with their school.
And you credit that to Danny White. And an interesting fact, Danny White, the athletic director of Tennessee, Brian White, the athletic director of FAU, will be facing each other. And their third brother, Mike White, who coaches at the University of Georgia. I would assume he's voting or he's rooting for FAU because he can't root for an SEC team. But, interesting, right?
Interesting.
All the White brothers, it's all connected. So.
Very interesting indeed. 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. Plus, Michelle disagrees with somebody.
I disagree with someone.
Oh, be listening, Rex.
One of our own.
That's coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Back in our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical studios, Chase McKay and Michelle Knezovic with you, talking about the NCAA tournament and the Tennessee Vols. 615-737-1025. This music gets me fired up every
time. Me too. I get so excited.
I think if I, you know, here's a little fun, I guess, sidebar. If you could snap your fingers and then you could be a part of a broadcast of any kind of sports event, you know, whether it's the Super Bowl or the NCAA tournament or Wimbledon or whatever, mm-hmm. it's like you get one.
Oh, mine is this.
The tournament?
I mean, you know me. I'm just thriving in college basketball season right now. Mine is conference tournaments into this tournament.
You know who I think is killing it? And I like, I love her coverage, and she's done it for the last few years, but Candace Parker. I love that they have her on as a part of the panel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh,
everybody loves Chuck and, you know, Kenny the Jet and Clark Kellogg. And
I liked when she did the Inside the NBA broadcast with D-Wade, Adam Lefko, Candace Parker. They would do those sometimes during the regular season. She's great on air.
Yeah,
She's awesome. She's a good job. So fun.
She does a good job with it. But, yeah, I think for me, mine would probably be the Masters. If I could do the Masters, that would be cool.
I feel like I'd have to be too serious.
Yeah, but it's so great. And I've never been.
Hello, friends.
Jim Nance doing it. I mean, I guess this is his last tournament, which is kind of sad.
Well, okay. The report that he put out there or whatever.
He lives here, so if he's listening right now, he can call in and let us know.
So I don't think he's officially done because he still said he'll call the national championship game and do the trophy ceremony.
Oh, moving after this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then that's fine.
He's like, I'm done, but I'm still going to do the best game, which I respect that.
He
so
can
much.
Do whatever the hell he wants at this
point. I know.
Because he is...
the GOAT.
He is the GOAT. He is awesome. So, and I love that Kevin Harlan was on the call for Tennessee, because Kevin Harlan's one of my favorites. And
he has some of the best calls ever.
Yeah, Kevin Harlan gets friend of the show. Treatment because he's always great about coming on and you know, he actually, I was texting with him earlier trying to get him on. He's got CBS has him doing all sorts of things.
I'm sure he's a little busy right now.
There's a great, you can go to our 1025 The Game YouTube page because it's still up. There was an awesome moment from probably close to 10 years ago at the Super Bowl in New York. And it was Darren, Derek, and Brad Hopkins. And Kevin Harlan came on the show. And, like, throughout the interview, he just goes into play-by-play with Derek and Brad. And he has this great call that he just comes up with on the fly of McNair drops back. What a great block by Hopkins. Fires it across to Mason. And it was just so cool. But so just one of a kind. For sure. But how do Vols fans feel right now? But you disagree with one Joseph Rexroad on something.
Yes. Yeah,
so you set this up.
I'll set this up. Earlier this morning, we had a discussion on the Vols, Rick Barnes in the postseason. Here is what Joe Rexroad said, and I will tell you my thoughts after.
I do think that when it comes to the psychology of this team, just getting here should unburden them some. Right, like the pressure should be a little bit less intense than it was to just get out of the first weekend. You know, it's been so long since Tennessee's gotten out of the first weekend. I mean, it was, you had to go back to 2019. So that's, to me, one is like, they don't have, like, you know, it, you think, you worry about the consequences also of losing to a team you're supposed to beat, and the consequence of losing to Louisiana, the consequence of losing to Michigan last year. That's in the, I think in this tournament more than anything is, can just be overwhelming to a team. There's no other way to like describe or explain how Purdue lost the freaking Fairleigh Dickinson, man.
I feel like they have more pressure now, Joe.
No, I disagree. No, I totally disagree with that. I mean, look, they made the second weekend. So right now this season is, I mean, this season has been a good season. Like, you, like they are not going to, like, just like Grant Raymond was saying, these guys love Rick Barnes. And if they had gotten out of, not gotten out of the first weekend, the screaming about Rick Barnes would be loud. Getting here, beating Duke, having that performance, you've taken a lot of the Rick Barnes angst out of this, right? Now, look, if they lose to FAU, as people are going to say, well, see, this team should have beat them. I mean, there's pressure on them, but getting to the second weekend of this tournament does a lot.
Okay, so that was Joe Rexroad earlier this morning discussing the pressure on this Tennessee Vols team. And I disagree. I disagree with Joe. I would argue that heading into this tournament, a lot of the pressure was off of them. Once Sakai Ziegler got injured, once we saw what they did in the SEC tournament, you saw their matchup in the first round. I mean, Vols fans, we were tweeting questions. We were talking to you. We were asking to you, do you guys have any hope in this tournament without Sakai Ziegler? What is your thought on this team? And I asked a question to fans and I said, do you give Rick Barnes a pass because Sakai Ziegler is not a part of this team? And a lot of people said, well, yeah, because it's a different team and the expectations aren't as high. Now you beat Duke. You show what this team is capable of. Now you're going to New York. You're the favorite. You're playing FAU. You got the matchup of FAU, which could have been Purdue.
Sure.
You are playing FAU. There is every reason, you know, when you look at the teams top to bottom, this Tennessee team is more talented. But how are they going to show up? How are they going to play in this game? And I would argue there's more pressure to win this one because it is a should win. Joe talked about the mental aspect of, oh my gosh, I can't lose to this team. I can't lose to this team. I can't lose to this team. Well, here you are now facing an FAU who's in the same conference as an MTSU here locally. You're facing them. I would argue that there's more pressure to win this game because it's an easier path to get to the Elite Eight.
So to that point, I agree with you because I think a lot of people are looking ahead and they're looking at the Elite Eight. Oh, they should get to the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree there that that's where Rick Barnes has to do his best coaching job of going like, hey, look, this team's here too. They got here too. So
with extra time.
Yeah. And so you gotta give them credit for that. So I disagree with Joe. I disagree with you a little bit on, I think there was a ton of pressure, even without Ziegler. I think there was pressure because the Rick Barnes part of this was always going to be there with or without Ziegler. And they still have a pretty good team.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Vescovi, obviously his expanded his role. He had to, but I thought that they still had to get out of the first weekend for some of the pressure to come off of Rick Barnes. From, I don't know how much pressure was really on him from an administrative standpoint, but from a fan base standpoint, they had to get out of the first weekend. So when we had this discussion last week, I wasn't going to give him a pass if, you know, even without Ziegler. I disagree with Joe because I think the pressure's still there because now it's like, yeah, you got out of the first weekend, but you have a good path to the Final Four.
Very good path. I mean, so, you're about to play a team that is not as good as the team that you just beat by a very good amount.
Like, I would give the edge to Tennessee against it'd be Michigan State or Kansas State, right?
State.
So I would give the edge to them against either one of those teams.
I would give the edge to them against Michigan State. Kansas State, they're a dark horse.
Yeah.
In the Big 12, you know, their record might not fully show it because they were playing Texas, Kansas. I mean, those are their regular their conference teams. But if their point guard plays the way he did and he's shooting the way he did the other night, I would give a slight edge to Kansas State.
Yeah, so I think that's where the pressure is. And where you got to do your job as a coach is getting through an FAU, a team that everybody's going to go, oh, okay, Conference USA, whatever. They're there too, you know. So definitely a fun discussion. We'll ask Gentry Estes about this as well. Coming up next from the Tennessee, I'm here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay and Michelle Knezovic with you. Let's say hello to Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and talk a lot of different things with him. Gentry, what's up?
Morning, Gentry.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Yeah.
Congrats on the new show to both of you. I'm glad I get a chance to come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it. So let's start with the Titans. A lot of the new guys were introduced yesterday. I got to start with Arden Key. I loved the signing when they made it because it was one that I wasn't necessarily on my radar. I thought he had a nice season for the Jags and obviously has some history with the 49ers. But he comes in. They bring him in on a pretty good deal to replace Bud Dupree. But I also love the attitude, the chip on his shoulder that he has, bringing up the Jags, having to play them twice. How do you see him fitting in with a Mike Vrabel-type team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always what has kind of stood out about him to me. I mean, there were a couple of pregame videos you'd see with the Jags last year where he was always one of the more vocal guys trying to get the team going. And I think he's certainly going to bring that to the Titans. You know, going back to even in college, I remember when Arden Key was a recruit, and, you know, there's always been a lot of hype and expectations about what he's able to do. The potential, I think, is still pretty high there. And you're talking about a guy who came into the league, and I think he's kind of grown into his potential a little bit. And I like the upside there. I like that. I like that addition. You know, after losing Bud Dupree, you needed to get a guy who's got some explosion on the edge like that. And I think he has the ability to do that. I don't think he's as proven as Bud Dupree was, but I also think he's got a ways to go in his career.
We went through both sides of the ball earlier. If the, you know, we always use the phrase, if the season ended today. Well, if the season started today, they still have a lot of holes when it comes to a starting offense and a starting defense, more so the offense with the Tennessee Titans. And it really, to me, stands out as who's the second tight end, who is your second wide receiver, who's the one of the guard spots, whether it's the left guard or the right guard. There's still some incompletes there with the offensive line. But I start with the offensive line with you, Gentry. Do you feel that Andre Dillard can be the starting left tackle that this team is looking for, or would you still address that position in the draft and maybe move him over to right tackle instead of Nicholas Petit-Frere?
Well, I think they think he can be the starting left tackle. So I think that was the idea. You know, to sign him to the deal they did was an indication to me that they're expecting him to come in and be a starter. You know, ideally left tackle, but I mean, he could play guard. There's some versatility there. But I do think, you know, to get the money he's getting, I think that's the plan. Now, do I think, no, I don't think that rules out the idea of a tackle still at number 11 or second round, you know, early in the draft, because I still think there's, like I said, there's some versatility there, and there's ways you're still going to need something there. But as you said, Chase, I mean, with the holes on offense, how do you not draft a receiver at 11 now? You have got to have somebody to catch passes. And it was such a weakness on last year's team, and they're not any better. They haven't done anything in free agency to address that. They're probably going to be in a situation where they'll have their pick of receivers at number 11. How do you not do it? And I would have said before the Dillard signing that they're probably going to get a left tackle there just because of the money and getting him on a rookie deal. But now you're almost positioning yourself to where it has to be a receiver.
From the Tennessean, Gentry Estes on the line with us. Gentry, sticking with the Tennessee Titans, Josh Dobbs signed a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. How do you view the backup quarterback position for the Tennessee Titans right now?
Looks like it's Malik Willis's, right?
Do you feel like that move showed that this organization has more confidence in him?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question because it's probably not the move I would have made. You're watching last year, and I was, along with everyone else, I was pretty impressed with Josh Dobbs. I felt like that guy proved a lot in a short time with the Titans, you know, just basically coming in and without any relationships or background with the team and played pretty well. Gave him a chance to, in that last game. And, I think he proved something to the Titans, but I think he proved something to the Browns too. That you're talking about a guy who had a chance in that organization once before, and I think he kind of showed them what they let go, and I guess they corrected that decision. Maybe the Titans didn't want to spend the same amount to keep him, but I do think, it does show a commitment to Malik Willis, at least in the short term, and I think that's probably understandable just because. I think we all said this going into last season, coming from Liberty and the system with Hugh Freeze, that he was going to need a year. That was what was always said about Malik Willis. Then Tannehill gets hurt. He gets rushed into probably a larger role than was good for him in that first year. It doesn't go well, so now we have our mind made up on him. I think it's, another year could work wonders for him as an NFL quarterback. There's still a lot to work with there and a lot of tools. Having said all that, I don't see how you look at the two quarterbacks last season and think that Josh Dobbs wasn't your better backup. To me, that seemed pretty obvious and a guy that would have been good to probably keep around. But who knows? There's a high risk, high reward here with Willis, where if it does work out, you still got a good young quarterback on your team.
Switching to a little college basketball gentry, the Tennessee Volunteers advance to the Sweet 16. They'll play FAU coming up at the end of this week on Thursday night. Looking at this Vols team, and whenever you talk about this basketball team in March, the conversation of Rick Barnes in March comes up and how he cannot be successful in March. Do you feel that since the Vols made it out of the first weekend, they have less pressure on them, or Rick Barnes specifically has less pressure on him?
You know, it's funny, Michelle, I would have said that before the first round. I felt like they came into this tournament, even though the seed, they've had for years now, they've had a good seed in the NCAA tournament, but it just felt like this time nobody expected anything from Tennessee. I mean, in this election show, Seth Davis, they're on the board for 3 seconds, and he's telling everybody how they're going to lose to Louisiana.
Yes.
And that kind of set there was a lot of that where – if you're reading around, it's Tennessee was ranked. It wasn't expected to do much. People didn't think they were going to make a run. A lot of it had to do with Zakai Ziegler getting hurt. And I think that did take the pressure off a little bit. And I think it did motivate Tennessee to play pretty well here in the first couple of rounds. Now you get in a situation against Florida Atlantic where, now they are supposed to win. Mm-hmm. Now this is your typical Rick Barnes NCAA tournament game, where if Tennessee loses, it would come off like so many of the games before, like those losses to Oregon State or Michigan last season, where Tennessee has a much better seed, is a favorite in the game. So I do think this Sweet 16 game sets up as more of a classic Tennessee letdown game in the NCAA tournament. That said, I think Tennessee will beat Florida Atlantic. I think there's a lot of reasons to like this matchup for Tennessee. Most notably, you've got a team that wants to shoot a ton of three-pointers, and they're going against the number one three-point defense in the country in Tennessee. So to me, that's a bad matchup for FAU. As long as Tennessee doesn't help them out by turning the ball over and letting them score in transition, if they make them play a half-court game, I think it's going to be very tough for the Owls.
Gentry Estes is with us. And let's squeeze in an NIT question. I know Vanderbilt has a chip on their shoulder, and they should. And I really like how Jerry Stackhouse has kept the swagger with this team. But I like how they're continuing to play through this run. And now they're just one step away from heading to Vegas to the semifinals in the National Invitational Tournament. What's kind of been your thoughts on them?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a continuation, I guess, of how they played for about the last month. It's a shame for them that they didn't get a chance in the NCAA tournament, because I think when you saw how they've been playing for weeks, that was a team that was going to be a tough out for anyone in that tournament. I think you kind of knew that. I would have said the same thing last year. For years now, Vanderbilt's been very good at playing their best at the end of the year. It just always seems to come down to what they can't do in November and December that ends up hurting them. But I think right now, certainly they're playing well enough to keep going in that tournament and make it to Las Vegas. You know, I mean, they bring in UAB, who's a good team. It's actually a little similar to Tennessee's game. They're both playing teams from the same conference and the two best teams from that conference. And I think in Vanderbilt's case, playing at home, they've made that count a lot more here in the last month. It didn't for a while, but they've really been playing well there. And they got a little lucky late against Michigan. Michigan turned the ball over several times there in the last minute.
And goaltending, too.
A chance to come back. So, you know, sometimes it takes that to keep winning this time of year. But I think when you look at Vanderbilt, they're certainly playing well enough to get through this next one and to have a shot to win that tournament.
Well, it's going to be fun for sure with both tournaments, watching these teams of local interest. Gentry, appreciate the time as always, and we will do this again soon.
Thanks, Gentry.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Have a good one.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean joining us here on Chase and Michelle. Coming up next, there's a reason, well, there are multiple reasons why he's the GOAT, but he just proved it again. We will discuss coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Keiser, the reporter, here with you. Hope you're having an awesome Tuesday. We'll have Three Doors Down tickets to give away before we get out of here. You'll have to answer a trivia question. Which I'm coming up with in my head right now. So we will.
Well, while you think of the trivia question right now, we need to get to a text on the text line.
Yes.
By Nate discussing the Tennessee Volunteers going to the Sweet 16. So Nate texts in. This is also a big weekend for the Nashville Predators. So Nate texts in. My dad asked if I wanted to go watch the Vols in New York. Go leave Nashville on Wednesday, return on Sunday. Depressingly, I had to say no because Pekka is getting his statue unveiled Saturday. Pekka gets a statue unveiled once at Bridgestone. Vols might get back to the Sweet 16 in the future. Your thoughts? ? And then he also followed up with, would you have done the opposite? I know what Michelle would have done. And he said, keep in mind, my dad was going to pay for airfare, hotel, tickets to the Sweet 16, and to the Elite Eight if they get to those games.
Okay, so you give your thoughts first.
Okay, Nate, I know you. He is diehard Preds fan, loves the Preds. The way I look at this, and when I look at, you know, games and things that happen like this in March, I told myself when I was in college at Kentucky, okay, if they make it to an Elite Eight or a Final Four, I'm going. And I never went. And look at them now. Ever since I've graduated, they haven't got that far. But a lot of times when you see a team, you know, get this far and you have an opportunity to go to that specific game, I look at March and I look at how many crazy things can happen in March and how it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Do I know if they'll get to the Sweet 16 again? Maybe. Will it be next year? I don't know. Will it be in 10 years? Maybe. They've only gotten two in their entire in program's history. And I look at the Pecorine statue and I think that's going to be something that's going to be in front of Bridgestone for a very, very long time. I can assume that Pekka is probably going to want to be a part of this organization.
Sure.
And he's going to be around for years to come. Yes, it's getting unveiled once, but it's something that's going to be there for a very, very long time, Nate. So those are just my thoughts. Also, be like, hey, Dad, you still got that offer on the table? Because if Dad is paying for flights, hotel tickets, you might need to take him up on that.
I would take him up on that. You know, if you're such, and I know you're a diehard Preds fan, but if you've never met Pekka, then okay, maybe that factors in. If you have, like, it's going to be cool. Like, I'm going to miss it too. I'm going to be in Vegas. Like, and I'm sad I'm missing it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've had so many moments that I've gotten to, you know, I was at Pekka's last game. I was at the banner and all those things. So, and I know the statue's going to be there forever, so I can go check it out. So,
yeah.
I would go to the tournament. So that's kind of how I would do
especially
it.
Especially when it's not going to break the bank for you, Nate.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to text your dad and say, hey, Dad, that offer's still on the table?
Yeah. Can I rescind that? So I said in the tease that he's the GOAT, and there are many reasons why, but he proved it again. I'm talking about Nick Saban, head coach at Alabama, because he showed yesterday what it means to be the leader of a program, to be a head coach, to be just a leader of people, of somebody, doing the right thing. He suspended Tony Mitchell after Tony Mitchell was arrested for possession of marijuana with the intent to distribute last week. This was Nick Saban and what he had to say about that.
Tony Mitchell has been suspended from the team on all team activities until we gather more information about the situation and what his legal circumstance is. And, guys, everybody's got an opportunity to make choices and decisions. There's no such thing in being at the wrong place at the wrong time. You got to be responsible for who you're with, who you're around, and what you do, who you associate yourself with, and the situations that you put yourself in. So it is what it is, but there is, cause and effect when you make, choices and decisions that put you in bad situations.
Nick Saban, whenever he's at the podium and he makes a statement like that, it is always directed somewhere. It's not just something that he's saying to the media and giving a quote or what have you. There is always a reason behind it, especially with the phrase, there's no such thing as wrong place, wrong time. That was a shot across the bow, however you want to put it. That was a message to Nate Oates and the absolute just bleep show that has been that situation with Miller and with the basketball program. And kudos to Nick Saban for doing that, because you know what? That's loud and clear, sir. Loud and clear. And that's why he's had the career he's had. He doesn't put up with any crap. You look at the two situations, very, very different. Very different charges. But Tony Mitchell got – it's like, hey, we got rules here. You broke them. You're suspended.
Yeah, I agree. I heard that from Nick Saban yesterday, and – kudos to you. We all agree that the way Nate Oates handled this situation regarding Brandon Miller, he took it extremely lightly, didn't take it seriously in his first comments that were just disgusting regarding this entire situation. And Nick Saban, the head of that school, essentially, out there and saying that. I hope that something was said behind the scenes, too, based off the way that this is being handled by him, and that something of this caliber isn't handled or taken lightly like it was surrounding the Alabama basketball program and the head coach, moving forward.
He showed that he's daddy still.
I hate when you say that.
I know, but he is. he is in charge for sure. I wanted to touch on Cam Newton today, but I guess we'll do that tomorrow because I laughed at something. But that is going to do it for us today. But stick around. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. Caroline off today. I'll stick around and hang out with D-Mace and Willie D when he gets done with morning skate duties. That's all next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.